welcome aboard.
We got several here that haven't been here in a while, and we're really glad to see you. And then the rest of us, it's good to be back like we are each and every week. A few weeks ago, many of you knew I had a marathon that came up, and I had run this particular marathon before in West Haven, Connecticut. But it had snowed. It was one of those where, again, it's the first weekend of spring, and it snows. So it snowed on the Friday that I got there, so I didn't run, and then it snowed on the day of the race. And so I didn't really notice how beautiful the Long Island Sound was while I was there. Well, so three weeks ago, whenever it was, I was there. I got there on Friday. I got my pre-run in on Friday afternoon, and so I'm sitting on these rocks right outside of the Long Island Sound. I was like, man, this is beautiful. And Michael texted me. And Michael's like, so I need your sermon ideas for next month. And I was like, oh, is that time of the month already? So anyway, I was sitting there. And some of the things that had been going through my mind was how I was going to attack my race, of what I was going to do to try to achieve what I had been training for and all of that. And as I was sitting there, we had just been studying how Jesus had calmed the sea when all of that was going on with his disciples, and how there was peace, and there was serenity. And as I was thinking about a prayer that I had heard many years ago that I believe came popular in the 1500s, I was thinking about this prayer, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. There are several of you in this room that have heard that prayer how many times a day, nonetheless. And it was something that really stood out to me, not only in my race of being able to accept whatever happens. I had put in the training, I had done everything that I needed to do, or so I thought I could do, and be okay with it. Accept it. Go with that. And if there's an opportunity to change things. And I thought about how many times in our lives do we want that peace that comes from being able to understand the difference between things that I can control and the things that are out of my control. Too often we worry and we fret on the things that are out of our control. And what we need from God is the peace to accept, I can't do anything about that. And the courage to change the things I can. And the wisdom to be able to know the difference. That is a prayer that I say very repeatedly. And this morning, I want you to understand that God wants us to have peace. I want you just to notice how the epistles begin. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians with me. Actually, go to Romans first. Go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. I want you to notice something as we go rapid fire. If you have a hard copy Bible, this is going to be easier for you than if you're using a digital Bible. But you're still going to get the idea. I want you to notice how the epistles, the letters that Paul and the other men wrote, I want you to notice how they begin. Look at verse 7 with me of Romans chapter 1. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Go to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. Grace to you, Paul says, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. How about Galatians chapter 1, the very next one? And verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you notice something that in those first four epistles that we have written down in order, do you see something that's coming up in every single one of those? Peace from our God. I want you to notice, go to the next book, go to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you tired of me going through this yet? Go to the next one. Go to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. Or Philippians 1 and verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 and verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God. Then, guess what happens with the rest of them? Every single letter that Paul writes, he begins by saying, may you have peace from God. Now, you might just say that's a greeting. Well, notice some of the other apostles. Notice John in his writing. Go to 2 John chapter 1. In 2 John chapter 1, notice verse 3. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, in truth and in love. And in Revelation 1 and verse 4, John to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who was and who is, or who is and who was and who is to come. Do you understand what is in the forefront of these apostles as they are writing to the churches and different brethren? It is that, may you have peace from God. Now you might just say, that's just a greeting. Because guess what? That is very much a greeting in that part of the world. Shalom, right? Hello, peace to you. Okay? Notice how the Apostle Peter begins his. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 1, notice verse 2 with me. And we'll pick up at, well, we'll read the whole thing. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. He would say the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. May grace and peace be multiplied. And Jude would say the same thing. May peace be multiplied. Do you understand that this is not just a greeting from the apostles? This is a prayer that they are asking God to give the recipients of their letters. It is something that God wants. It is something that is mentioned or referenced in all of the epistles except for two at the beginning or the end. James does not mention it, and 1 John does not mention peace. Hebrews mentions the God of peace at the end of chapter 13 and verse 20. And then James mentions a little something about peace as well, I believe. But anyway, there's two epistles. Not Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. But two epistles that do not have this greeting or this as an ending. Now, I want you to notice two that have it as an ending. I want you to go to Romans chapter 15. I want you to notice the conclusion of these epistles. Now, you're going to say, Wes, chapter 15 of Romans is not the last chapter. That is correct. But chapter 16 of Romans is basically, hey, here are a bunch of people I want you to say hello to and greet. The middle of chapter 15 is very much a concluding thought, but it's not the conclusion of the letter. But notice verse 13 very carefully, Romans 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. May God fill you with it. Then notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. This is my favorite of all of them. That's why I saved it for last. Verse 16 of 2 Thessalonians 3. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. May you have peace at all times in every way. I want you to sit there and tell me God does not want us to be at peace in our lives. You can't. Because being at peace is a major, major part of being in the kingdom of Christ. Remember that passage that was just read for us in Matthew chapter 6? You can flip over there if you want to. But flip over there in Matthew chapter 6. We're told not to be anxious in verse 34, right? Don't be anxious about tomorrow. God says there are some things you don't need to worry about. And specifically in this context, it's food. It's clothing. It's all those things. He says, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to put on. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither toil nor they spin, but yet God feeds them. And look at the lilies of the field. They don't put on any fancy clothes, but yet they're beautiful, right? And they are more beautiful than Solomon in all his glory. So don't you worry about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat, because God's going to take care of you. But you remember verse 33 before he says, don't be anxious. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, if you're seeking the kingdom of God first in your life, guess what you're going to have? You're going to have peace. Because that's what God is saying is a part of this. I want you to think about a righteous person. Somebody who is trying their absolute best to do right day in and day out. Is that person perfect all the time? 100% not, right? But that person, when they lay their head on the bed and the pillow, now you know what that person is able to say? Man, I sure did try today. And I want you to notice how God uses that. Go to Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2, there's an argument that is being made. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew. It doesn't matter if you're a Gentile. You got saved. And you need to be saved by God. And so in verse 6, Paul says to these brethren, he says, God will render righteous judgment at the end of verse 5. And so verse 6, he will render to each one according to his works, according to the things that he did. To those who by patience and well-doing, they seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. Like if you want eternal life, and you want to have and be glorified with God, and that's what you go after, guess what? God is going to recognize and help you achieve eternal life. God is going to give you that eternal life. But verse 8, but for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but they obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. If you only care about yourself and you're going to do whatever it is you want to do, the only thing you've got coming to you is the wrath and the fury of God. But yet if you want His glory and you want immortality and you go after that, God says, I'll be happy to give you life. We say, what's one of those I got anything to do with peace? Look at verse 9. There will be tribulation and distress. When we are anxious about the things that are going on in our lives, would we say the word, I'm stressed out? It's this idea right here. I am so stressed about this. I'm not at ease about this. I'm not at peace with this. I am distressed. He says, there will be tribulation, there will be hardships, there will be stressings, distress for every human being who does evil to the Jew first and also to the Greek. If you're not living right, guess what you're going to have in your life? Stress, because you're not going to be at ease, at peace. But now here it is, verse 10. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also to the Greek. For God shows no partiality. Do you understand what he says there? God is rewarding us for doing good with peace in our lives. Does that mean when we don't have peace in our life, that means that we're not doing good? Not necessarily, does it? But I can't find real peace in my life if I know that there is something between me and God. I might be okay with my work situation, but I may not be able to sleep at night. I may not be able to look at so-and-so in the face. I may always have to be kind of telling a little lie over here to make this, you know. And there's always these things and all these pressures that are always taking place. And God is just saying, if you do the right thing, I'm going to give you the point where you can have peace in your life. And Paul tells us a little more about that in Philippians chapter 4, about what this peace of God can do for us. And I shouldn't say can do for us, but does for us. He doesn't say the peace of God can do this. And I want to make sure I emphasize that point. Because I think sometimes we think of it that way. The peace of God can do this. Notice verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I think sometimes we read that, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, can guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Like, it would be really good if God would give me some peace right now to do all of this. What I think Paul is saying is just the opposite. You know, I'm not a very positive thinking individual. But it's this idea of God will guard my heart and all of these things in my mind because I am in Christ. All of these other things going on in my life that are stressing me out and that are weighing me down, do not compare to those things of the kingdom. He will do this. Now, where I got this whole phrase of the kingdom was not from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. That just happens to be something that I had not noticed before. But I want you to notice in Romans chapter 14. In Romans chapter 14, there are problems between brethren. Between Jew and Gentile brethren, so if we want to be very specific about it. And what Paul says in Romans 14, he says, pick up with me in verse 16 of Romans 14. Remember, Michael did two Sunday night lessons on this, not too long ago, about judging your brother and so on and so forth. And so I'm not going to go into that. But notice verse 16. Do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. 4:17. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. Now again, I'm going to reference Michael here. Michael will often say, it's not a matter of eating and drinking only. It's not only eating and drinking. What you eat and what you drink does matter. But it's not only about that. But here's the phrase, verse 17. But the kingdom of God really matters in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. See, that's what really the kingdom is about, is making peace with not only ourselves and God and being okay with the things that are going on in our lives, but striving for peace between each other. Eddie preached a sermon on that, didn't he? Like last November or something like that, October, November, So notice that in verse 19. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. You see, not only should I want peace in my life, I should also want peace in other people's lives. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are sons of God. Why are the peacemakers sons of God? Because God came while we were yet enemies. He sent Jesus. And He sent Him to reconcile us so that we would no longer be enemies. That we would be able to be at peace with Him. And so Ephesians 2 and verse 17 says, Jesus came and He preached peace to those who were far off and to those who were near. Cornelius is told in Acts chapter 10 by Peter, the first Gentile to be taught the gospel by the apostles. He says to him in Acts chapter 10, you know the word of peace that was brought forth first. You see, God, His whole message when He sent Jesus to earth was we can be at peace with one another. And when we are at peace with one another, you can be at peace in yourself. And you sure better be at peace with one another. But you got to pursue these things. And so if you go to the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 9, the chapter before Cornelius is told about this word of peace, which by the way is verse 36 of chapter 10, if you're taking notes. There's a description that is given after the persecution has started. Remember, the church in Jerusalem is growing. It's multiplying. Souls are being added daily. We're up to thousands and thousands. And then in chapter 7, Stephen gets stoned and killed. And in chapter 8, Saul, who becomes Paul, starts wreaking havoc on the church. And they start walking away and they're spreading, going to different places, preaching the word wherever they went. And so we get to chapter 9 after Paul, Saul, has been converted and become a Christian. We see a description of the church in verse 31 of Acts chapter 9. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. The church had peace. Do you know why? Because they had God. Because they were walking in the fear of the Lord. So it didn't matter that they were being scattered throughout the entire world by tribulations and stresses, things that they could not control. They went preaching the word. Things they could control in every single city. And they were at peace. Even though they were being killed every single day. That's what the kingdom is about. Through many tribulations, we must enter into the kingdom. But you can be okay with that. You can be at peace with that. Whatever is going on, whatever is happening, you can be at peace in that. So you say, but man, Wes, I don't have that kind of peace. I'm not okay with everything that's going on in my life. I thought I would be married by now. I thought I would have a better job by now. I thought I would be retired by now. I thought that my kids would have turned out better than what my kids turned out by now. So how in this world do I get God's peace? This peace that He so desperately wants me to have and multiply to me. That He wants to fill me with. How in this world do I get it? Well, it starts by being in Christ. Remember that in Philippians 4. It will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Notice Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, a very similar verse to Philippians 4. But in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. You see, if you're not in the body of Christ, you don't have that peace of Christ. You can't have it. You may be okay with some things, but you don't have that true peace. You don't have that true, my sins are taken away, my sins are okay. And that's what Jesus says in John chapter 16, verse 33, to his 12 disciples as he is leaving them. He says, I'm telling you these things now, so that in me you may have peace. You see, it doesn't happen anywhere else. The world can't give us peace. It tries, and it can help, I'm not going to lie. Running helps me deal with anxieties and stresses of life. But it doesn't solve the major issues of life. That's not going to deal with my sin. But it may help me deal with some other things. Medication is not going to help me deal with my sin. But it may help me deal with some other things. And that's okay. But what God is saying to us, if you want true peace and real peace in life, you've got to be in Jesus Christ. So how do I do that? Well, Galatians chapter 3 tells us a little bit about how one gets into this body. How one gets into Christ. Remember how he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called sons of God. Notice verse 26. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. You see that right there? We're in Christ. We're sons of God. Now notice verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The way in which we get into Christ is to be baptized into Christ, into His body. And what that tells me is if I've not been baptized into His body and into Him, I can't have that real peace that God wants me to have. But you remember what Philippians 4 said? You've done that. You say, man, I've been baptized into Christ. I've had my sins forgiven. But yet I'm still not at peace. Well, did you ask God for it? How many of you asked, James says, for wrong things? You ask to spend it on your pleasures. You're not asking for the things that you really need. God, help me accept the things I can't change. God, give me the courage to change the things I can. God, help me know the difference between those things. When's the last time you actually asked God for something like that? He's like, ask it with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. And you know what God is going to do? I am highly convinced God is going to grant you peace. I don't know how quickly. I don't understand all of that. But I'll tell you what. God says, peace is part of my kingdom. So you ask me. You're not getting much better. It's not coming to you. Well, how about you do what you can the best you can? You understand where we're coming from on that? There are things that are out of our control. I can't do anything about that. God, help me accept that. Help me to understand that, okay? But there are things in life that I can't. There are things in life that I can do something about, and let me do it the best I can, like that Romans 2 passage, right? But Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For the grave to which you're going, there's neither work, no thought, no nothing there. Whatever you do, do it the best you can. I did the best I could that day for my rights.
I classify it as an okay race.
I have great races, good races, okay races, bad races.
It was an okay race.
Everyone else might be impressed with it.
I'm like, it was okay. But I'm okay with it. Because I did the best I could that day. I trained as good as I knew to do then. I learned things along the way, and I'll do it differently in 2 weeks. But I'll tell you what, I'm okay with it. I'm not upset even though I thought I would be. I'm okay. And so what God tells us to do, sometimes you got to forget the things that are behind. You've got to accept the past. It is what it is. And those things that you can't change, you got to forget it as best you can. You got to take it in, accept it, and you got to look forward. You got to look to the next task at hand, the next thing that you can control. And if there's something that you have to or you need to correct, you got to correct it. If that means you got to go and talk to someone and have a very uncomfortable conversation, that means you got to go talk to them and you got to have a very uncomfortable conversation. And what Jesus says to do in Matthew chapter 6 is, if you realize your brother has something against you, remember that whole thing? Don't keep offering worship, but go to him. Lay your gift at the altar, right? You go. And he says, go and settle with your accuser quickly, lest he be able to take you, put you in prison, until you have to pay every last penny. You see, there's something very uncomfortable about going and dealing with things we can change. But there's also something very freeing and very peaceful after that quote band-aid has been ripped off and it hurt to let the healing process begin. As much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. You're not going to be able to be and make everything right with everybody. But if I done what I could do, the best I could do, and if I've done that and I am in Christ, God says you will have peace that is beyond your comprehension. And if you've ever had that experience, you're like, wow, I have no idea how I'm doing this. You want that kind of peace in your life? Are you ready to be baptized, to submit yourself to the rule of Christ in your heart? Why don't you do it now? Or if you need the prayers of the congregation in any way, why don't you come now and stand and have a seat.